An all too short 100 years of the immaculately hip aristocrat, the Charlie Parker of English, His Royal Hipness, Lord William Merle Buckley. That's our focus on this week's broadcast of Echoes of a Century. I'm King David Mackenzie.
And my lords and ladies, a short time ago I had was paid the great compliment of appearing at the Air Force Association in New Orleans. And I had such a charming time doing a show there that I was eventually invited to take a jet ride so that I might describe it to the people in publicity for the Army, the Air Force, rather. And so I should like to describe it for you. Unbeknownst to me, they'd given the order to ring me out, as it were. And so I should like to describe to you what took place in a sort of a half-hip, as it were. I went out there expecting to take a nice, cool, groovy, easy, serene ride, never dreaming what I was going to get into. But here's what jumped off. I picked up the phone and the cat on the other end said, "This is Captain Shalik of the United States Air Force. I've been assigned to this project and I'll pick you up at 8:30 in the morning and we'll go to Palmdale for the jet ride. You are Lord Buckley, aren't you?" I said, "Solid." He said, "Roger," and cut. I said to myself, "Man, here's where I flip out into the wild blue yonder," and I found out later why they call it wild. The captain hit my pad at 8:30, and by 10 we were there, Palmdale. We fell into the scene that was Security City. Man, there was fuzz walking, fuzz riding, fuzz to the left, fuzz to the right, fuzz digging the fuzz, and all of them putting the burn on me like I'd personally cut out with the Statue of Liberty. Well, we cut upstairs, and I was introduced to a tall cat with a face like a tan hatchet. This was Captain Brown, the cool. He dug me with a take that said, "Man, this cat don't look like he's breathing too good at sea level." They put a pre-flight jazz book on me that was a gasser. The opening lines were a solid hanger. And it said, and I quote, "It is a known fact that it is very difficult for the observer, that's me, in an AT-33 aircraft to determine the state of an emergency should one arise. Therefore, all observers must rely on the action and words of the pilot when unusual occurrences take place." Man, I begin to suffer from a seizure of the flips. Extent of emergency are unusual occurrences. They must have pulled a switch on me. This book is for the test cats, not me. Oh, while panicking on the cool words of advice in this little goodie, a cat came up with a space hat and said, "Try this on for size." I tried it on and he took it off, squeezed it, and this time it felt like it was glued to my wig. Next he came up with a set of Churchill spatters to put on my stompers and the chute pack. The cat hips me that when I have to yank the chute release, not to come on with no delicate lick. I told the cat at that time come for me to pull this item, I'll come on like a madman at a taffy pull. Now I've got 692 straps on me, all holding this jazz in place comes on. Next comes the oxygen sniffer. Jack, I mean to tell you this scene was getting pretty far out, but I'm holding in there real tight. But I sure feel like a cat wrapped up and tired to be flipped clean out of this world. Well, I read a few more lines in the Spacehead book. While waiting for the pilot, Captain Brown, "One very important consideration for all to make is to determine if the aircraft is still under control. This can best be determined by the position of the aircraft and its lateral or longitudinal movement, if any." "If any what?" I said to myself. "Man, this is the first time in the history of the Air Force that an aircraft is way out of control before it even gets in the air. Man, I now got the jammies and the double flippies, but I still keep digging. The 14th commandment, thou shalt not goof. And to see that, the canopy is normally blown clear when the right armrest of the ejection seat is raised. Man, a cat can automatically blow his top in this gig by just lifting the handle. Wow. It states the pilot will hip you in case of any bad jazz. When to jump. And therefore, don't make any hasty decisions regarding bailing out before you're reasonably sure that the aircraft is out of control and you are unable to contact the pilot." Dad, I won't even count 10 without giving an okay from the Spacehead cat. That's the way I dig the ship. And furthermore, I ain't about to grab the wheel on this scene. Flip and jump the ship? Never. Captain Brown drops by and we make it out to the spaceship. Jack, let me double hip you. This was a real way-out set of wings. Looked like a multi-millionaire son's special kick ship. Come on like a flying sword. Looked just like it came out of some king-size Tiffany's window. I made it up the short ladder into the observer's seat behind the pilot seat. Captain Brown the Cool is now hipping me to the gig again. He comes on to say that the lever on the left blows the canopy and the one on the right is the main day double seven ply tail buster to end all gases. He said that in case I had to pull it, to be sure and pull in my stoppers, hold my arms tight and hold back my wig, cause this is the jazz that blows the whole seat clear out of the place, and to be sure and not forget to unbuckle the seat when I got up and out before I pulled the chute release. I said, Jack, that's the last thing I would forget to do in my whole life, I swear to goodness. I tell him, he also hips me to another gadget, which I'm not to touch at any time. I tell him I wouldn't even sneak a peek at that jazz. In fact, I'd already forgotten it was there. On goes the oxygen sniffer. The windshield is pulled down over my space hat. Down goes the canopy. I feel like the top part of a ketchup bottle under glass, man. I'm in like some scrap spotter done spun a web on me. I'm digging the dial on the dash with a set of lips on it. When I breathe, it does too. Real cuckoo. I got a phone and a receiving set in my space head, and Captain Brown sounded me, am I ready? I say, go, daddy. And just then, a 60-foot giant, which I somehow didn't dig before, hauled off and gave that ship a swinging kick in the tailpipe. We were off for Moon City. The Air Force base was 65 miles north of Los Angeles, and before I could say help, we were over San Diego upside down at 18,000 feet and scooting along at 500 miles an hour. And I'm going to hip you, Jack. The city looks pretty far out in this position, I say to myself. Jack, you are now a Mars head, a space head, and an A number one moon man number one. Well, we turn right side up, and Captain Cool's voice comes through to say, don't fight the ship. What this cat don't know that I can't spare anybody to fight the ship. All my boys is fighting to keep in the two eggs and the orange juice and the hotcakes that I had for breakfast. And man, I mean they are engaged to the hilt and calling for reinforcements to hold the line. Whoops, looked like a breakthrough for the orange juice, but by the grace of the great swinger, my cats are still in there fighting and I'm all right. Now Captain Cool really takes off on a sky flipping flim flam. We're doing outside outs and inside ins and the maniac twist, and then we're jumping into the straight again and flipping and flapping and double flipping and hoop-de-dooing all over that sky. And through all this, Captain Cool is coming on like a polished penguin's personal salute to the North Star, Jack. He was real chilly. He was so cool. He sounds me through the wig phone, clear and cool, asking how I would like to pick up on 4.5 G's. I said to myself, dig this cat, this far-out penguin head, for not fighting the ship and playing it cool and being real groovy. The Air Force is going to put 4.5 big ones on me, 4.5 grand cash. Ain't that nice? Wow, I said, crazy, man, crazy. When can I pick up on it? He says, right now. And Jack, We cut downstairs like a red-tailed hornet bird. It's a kick like you don't know where you're going, but you sure know you're on your way. When suddenly Captain Cool started upstairs again. And when he made that move from down up, I didn't go with that cat at all. I kept right on going down. I felt like the low man on a fat man's totem pole. I was so down that my space helmet weighed 7 jillion pounds. If Marilyn Monroe was to walk by in a calendar suit, I'd have to take a rain check, because, man, I could not lift my wing. If a cat had come by with a couple of buckets of dimes, I'd have to put them over there in the corner. I'll see you in a minute. Don't fight the ship, man. I'm fighting to get all these lead-tailed cats off my back. When, whoom, we upstairs again, and before I could get my stomach out of my shoes, we're swinging in on the runway. We stop. The canopy flips up as 2 Air 4 cats jump back with a startled look like the captain picked up on a technicolored Martian. I look like a cat on a quince diet, but Jack, I was back, and to lay it on you straight, I'd like to make that whole riff over again, but this time I like to do it missile head style. Now that's a little thing that happened to me. I'm going to tell you, it was a gasm.
On the 5th of April, 1906, in a tiny mining and lumber town called Tuolumne, California, due east of Stockton, a son was born to a pair of English immigrants to the United States named Bill and Annie Laurie Buckley. That little boy, also named William Buckley, would grow up to become a highly unique entertainer calling himself Lord Buckley. His performing premise was most unusual. He acted like an English aristocrat, but retold familiar stories, both fictional and historic, in hip slang idiom, as well as relating stories from his own life. Several of those items make up this program. Wrap your mind around this collection of rephrasings from Lord Buckley.
That's me, I'm Scrooge, and I got all mileage, Bolly, and I'm the baddest cat in all this world. I've been studying all my life how to Scrooge people, and I guarantee you I've done some fine work in that direction. Cratchit!
Yes, sir?
You busy? I surely is, sir. See that you keep busy. There wasn't no dangling wanging around here. Keep everybody tight, and tell them two cats come in here, want to get some money. I ain't giving no money away. They're messing with Scrooge. I'm taking it in. I ain't putting it out. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
Well, keep it clear.
People come around here wanting my gold. It's all trying to pry into my vault. Every time I turn around, somebody start to snap.
Tell my nephew I don't want to have no dinner with him. And if he never comes in here again, that'll be too soon.
I'll tell the cat.
See that you do.
I don't understand these people who after my gold. I close up this here place and
What? Let me tell you something else. You think that you're going to get off Christmas Day?
Well, I was hoping, sir, that you'd let me knock off just a little while for Christmas Eve because I want to go home and cool the goose.
Well, if you're going to get off Christmas Eve, you're going to have to work all day Christmas. You hear me?
I hear you, sir. I'm with it.
Well, I guess we're going on home here.
So Scrooge takes off and he cuts on down the street and the snow is blowing and the wind is whooing and Scrooge is going along in his loose soul and his loose clothes and his hard cash box and his big money mine going on in his wig and he ding, ding, ding up the stairs and he opens his door and he gets inside and he puts a double lock on the door because he's a little bugged tonight. He been saying humbug so long and humbug this and humbug that he done give himself a natural humbug. He's got the bug humming in him, see? So he double locked the door. And he sit there, and all of a sudden, there's an old bell laying over there in the corner, and the bell goes ding, 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 ding. Scrooge said, what's that?
Dang, dong.
He said, what's that? Bell started to ring. Dang, dong, boom, boom. Pretty soon, all the bells all over the house started to ring. Ding, ding, bang, bang, dong. Dang, dong, boom, boom, dang, dong, boom, boom. And he hears something like some chain cats are pulling all the chains from the chains of time up the hill of strife, ringing and dang. He said, what is all that ringing and dang with them chains? And all of a sudden, bloop. In come a cat, the wildest looking cat you ever seen in his life. Real gone cat, and Scrooge does a real wild take. He said, I know who that stud is. That's Marley. He said, I know that's Marley. What's he doing here? Say, Marley. I said, yes, that's me. He said, man, you sure chained up there, man. You got chains all over you there. I said, well, I put them on myself. That's the way I lived it. I chained myself. I hung myself up with all these chains, you know, being parsimonious, understand me. I can't get them off now. I've been lugging these chains all over the country for the past 7 years. That's a long time. What you want with me there, Molly, Molly? Because I got your barley. That's why I don't mess with no barley no more. I wish I'd given it all away when I had it. And I'm going to tell you something else, too. I'm a spook, you know that? You telling me? I know you're a spook, Molly, and I'm going to get straight with you. I'm going to tell you something else, too, Mr. Scroogey. There's going to be 3 more gaslighting spooks coming to see you. He said, 3 more gaslighting spooks? Man, I said, 1 spook's enough. I said, Kate, I have them all at one time. I said, no, they're coming one at a time. First one will be 11, next one will be 12, next one will be 1. Man, it's hard on diggers. It ain't what you dig, Scrooge. It's what you're putting down. You've been a very solid cat all this time. You're going to be gaslighted by these spooks. Well, they say, if it got to be gas, it ain't going to cost me no money, is it? Cost you more than that, Scrooge. He said, it ain't no more than money. He said, you find out. Molly split. And old Scrooge is sitting there sweating and dingling and dangling. And all of a sudden, man, he hears some crazy, wild kind of a thing going on. He don't know just what it is. And all of a sudden, boom, here comes a great big fat spook look like take 170 wings and lift him off over the housetop and he's got a gold beat up cat and strangly legs and strangly arms and pedicured eyes and all out of his skull spooking up a storm and he looks at the old Scrooge and he says, Scrooge is standing in the corner and feel like a disrupted small disregarded and unclaimed white mice midget style. He said, no, that and old this spook say, come with me cause I is the ghost of the Christmas past. And Scrooge said, do I have to? He said, you certainly do. And he got on the ghost's wing. They took off. And he's flying old Scrooge over the top of the mountain. The wind is blowing. And the wind is popping his wake. And he's looking down and seeing all these crazy scenes going on. Zoom. He goes for a few more miles and takes him down to a sunlit pasture. And the sunlit pasture is full of children. And they're singing and dancing and loving and going and swinging. And Scrooge said, hey, Scrooge said, look, that's me down there. He said, yeah, that's you. That's you. He said, I look pretty good now. Yeah, but you don't look good now. He said, I'm going to hit you. You got to get yourself straight. Something terrible going to happen. You zoom. He takes him over to another place and he shows him a pretty little chick. Got dimples, three dimples on each chin. And she got three little dimpled children. And the next little dimple on the way. And there's a real swinging cat around there. And it's a happy time place. Looks like 17 carnivals taking off. And Scrooge, look at this chick. Say, I remember that chick. I could have married her one time. Spook say, yeah, you could if you wasn't so tight in your purse. You're thinking about yourself. That's what happened. He said, let me help you further, Mr. Scrooge. Let me tell you one thing. You could have got everything straight if you wanted, and you better straighten up. Scrooge said, take me home. The ghost said, I will. Boom, and he's home again. He said, oh, man, that was a shaker. He said, I don't know. It's jumping off here. But he said, this whole thing is shaking me up pretty bad. He said, I'm going to tell you right now. I said, I don't know. Bam, here comes another big spook. Ooh, he's a wild-looking spook. He's a crazy-looking spook. He's a far-out spook. He's a gaslight spook. He's got a gaslight right on the top of his wig, going around like one of them automatic pilot lights in a lighthouse. And he's been gassing up the whole scene. He said, come with me. I'm the ghost of Christmas present. And Scrooge look around and see the joint is loaded with apples and bananas and oranges and cratylees and aquavits and ripper lips and all kinds of crazy wild grapes and crazy Christmas scenes and nuts and candy. And he say, come with me. He done took off again. He said, I'm the ghost of the Christmas present. He said, I'm going to show you what's going on in this world and how the people dig Christmas and how to all enjoy. And he took them home to a little old outcast island, and they're sitting on a small beat up rock with two studs chomping up on a can of beans singing, Merry Christmas with you. Merry Christmas with you. Merry Christmas to the whole world, and so on and so forth. And he show them the people jumping for joy here, and he show the cats that ain't got nothing, got something anyway, and they all jump for joy singing Merry Christmas, and the bells is ringing. He said, now you get yourself straight and see how things is jumping. Come with me. So they fly over to Cratchit's place, and there's little old Tiny Tim. He's singing over the quarter crochet and a little crazy scene on his crutch, fiddling around, you know what I mean? And carrying on, see, and they're all talking about, look at this here goose, and they look down at a little goose about the size of a beat up retarded sparrow, and everybody's oohing and ahhing all over this goose, and they're saying, when are we going to spread it? And so, and then Tiny Tim say, God bless everyone, even up and including old Scroogey Scrooge. God bless everyone. That's what Tiny Tim say. And old Scrooge got wet eyes, took him back again. Wow! Whole side of the building up, boom, and come a long angular spook, looked like 17 gas lighted stovepipes hung together with jingle jangle bells all over. Spook takes a look at this cat and says, do I have to go with you? He say, you certainly do, because I'm the ghost of Christmas future. He say, come with me. He say, where are we going? He say, none of your business. And he takes old Scrooge and they cut off all the flying, and they're flying around, the moonlight is shining down on, boom, they're in a graveyard. Ooh, a wild, ooh, crazy spooky graveyard. And old Scrooge is walking around, and finally something steps out at him like he was struck in the force of his eyes with some sort of an electronic pitchfork, and he reads on one of them billboards in that graveyard and say, this is Scrooge, the baddest cat that ever lived. He ain't had nothing, he won't have nothing, and he ain't got nothing now. Period. And Scrooge looked at his horse, Scrooge, what are you doing? And the man, he said, well, come with me. They go over to another place, and they say, you going to the funeral? Say, not me, man. I wouldn't go near that cat, dead or alive. They couldn't pay me get near that cat. Say, what cat is that? And suddenly kind of comes Scrooge to take me coffin factory, and they see all these coffins laying around, and they see one coffin, all of us got flowers around this poor little coffin, he got nothing on it but just some pine wood bowl. And old Scrooge look up the coffin and look at this and that, but he's afraid to look all the way, for he knows who is in that coffin. So zoom, he swings on back again, and the ghost puts him down, and old Scrooge is shaking and shivering, and he finally falls into a real wild, crazy Myers' coma. And he falls out for how long, he don't know. When he wakes up in the morning, oh, the sun was shining on the glorious snow, and old Scrooge is feeling so groovy and so wild, and he tick, 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 tiptoes over the window. He up with the window, see a little cat, and I say, hey, boy, I said, yes, sir. He said, you know that great, big, giant, king-sized bird down in Doodley's window? He said, you mean the prize bird? No, I say, I mean that big, great, big, king-sized bird. He said, go get that bird. Here's a 20. He knocks a 20 on him. He said, go get that bird, and here's 10 more for a cab, and here's $5 for your sister, and here's 22.50.
security for your uncle's new bicycle. And he say, tell anybody wants anything, see Scrooge. He say, I'm flying this here Christmas. He say, I want to see Cratchit swing out with a great big swing and happy dinner. He say, I'm with it all the way. And old Scrooge gets dressed and he walking down the street and ding dong, ding dong, ding dong. The bells is ringing. Scrooge got a big smile on his face and people that he's seen for 20 years never said hello. Say, good morning, Mr. Scrooge. He said, what you say, baby? And he can on and can on. He happy as the day is long. And he finally fell into old Bob Cratchit's place. And he's got Christmas toys and Christmas jars and Christmas presents for everybody. And they just open the goose. And little Tiny Tim see him coming and say, God bless Mr. Scrooge. He done did the turnabout. He's the Lord's boy today. And that's the story of Scrooge. You can get with it if you want to. There's only one way, straight to the road of love.
Hipsters, flipsters, and finger popping daddies, knock me your lobes. I came to lay Caesar out, not to hip you to him. The bad jazz that a cat blows wails long after he's cut out. The groovy is often stashed with their frames. So don't put Caesar down. The swinging Brutus hath laid a story on you that Caesar was hungry for power. If it were so, it was a sad drag, and sadly hath the Caesar cat answered it. Here, with a pass from Brutus and the other brass, for Brutus is a worthy stud, yea, so are they all worthy studs, though their stallions never sleep. I came to wail at Caesar's wake. He was my buddy, and he leveled with me. Yet Brutus deems that he has eyes for power, and Brutus is a solid cat. It is true he hath returned with many freaks in chains, brought them home to Rome. Yea, the looty was booty, and hip the treasury well. Dost thou dig that this was Caesar's groove for the push? When the cats with the empty kicks hath copped out. Yea, Caesar hath copped out too, and cried of a storm. To be a world grabber, a stiffer riff must be blown. Without bread, a stud can't even rule an anthill. Yet Brutus was swinging for the moon. And yea, Brutus is a worthy stud. And all you cats were gassed on the Lupercal when he came on like a king freak. Three times I lay the kingly wig on him, and thrice did he put it down. Was this the move of a greedy hipster? Yet Brutus said he dug the lick. And yes, a hippocat has never blown. Some claim that Brutus's story was a gag, but I dug the story was solid. I came here to blow. Now stay cool while I blow. You all dug him once because you were hipped that he was solid. How can you now come on so square? Now that he is tapped out of this world, City Hall is flipped and swung to a drunken zoo. And all of you cats are goofed to Wig City. Dig me hard. My ticker is in the coffin there with Caesar. And yea, I must stay cool till it flippeth back to me.
My lords and my ladies of the royal court, the religious fantasy of Jonah and the whale. Now, the great Lord was sitting in his rosy rocking chair one hallelujah morning when he looked down and observed by a great body of water a little mortal about 5'2". And the Lord dug the mortal. And he called for Gabe, and Gabe put down his horn and swung with the book. And the Lord flipped the pages. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J. And it was Jonah getting his kicks on the beach. And said, man, sure is crazy out here in this here beach. Man's got a lot of room to groove in, the sun shining down. Everything's a melody and fine. Now, when the great Lord has something he must have done upon the earth, he calls upon his favorite children to do it. So the great Lord put the sound on. Jonah says, I dig you, Jonah. I dig you, Jonah. I dig you, Jonah, because Jonah is the Lord's sweet boy. Jonah said, man, where is all that jazz music coming from anyway? Sound like 72 jazz bands jumping off here. Man, makes much jiggle and wiggle. He said, whoo, whoo. So I know them seagulls ain't wailing up no breeze like that. I said, the whoppoers and the canal bears going to count. I got the craziest feeling all over my body. Ooh, feel like I'm going to stretch my wings and ooh. Good morning, Lord. The Lord said, good morning, Jonah. He said, Jonah, I got a little favor. Jonah said, ain't that crazy? 96 million cats for the Lord to put his finger on and a sea like Jonah. Ain't that groovy? And the great Lord said, Jonah, I want you to cross the Red Sea and put the message on the Israelites. They're squaring up over there. And Jonah said, man, you don't mean this here big pool, do you, Lord? Boom. He said, man, look at them waves. Boom. He said, you must mean some little old Jonah-sized pool, don't you, Lord? Great Lord, said Jonah, put your nose into the wind and the message will come to you. And Jonah put his great nose into the north wind. It was not there. He put it in the east wind. It was not there. He put it in the west wind. It was not there. But when he put it in the hallelujah south wind, it was there. So he traveled for 22 days and 15 minutes and came to a great cathedral-like group of trees, lifting their glorious arms up to heaven in supplication of the master. And down at the bottom of these giant sequoias, Jonah saw growing a strange green vine. And he said, just like Brigham Young, this is it. And he sat down beside it, and he observed of it, and he admired of it, and he plucked from it, and he rolled of it, and he selected of it, and he swung of it, and he said, why is that fool pool the Lord want me to dig? Look out, here come Jonah, and he ready, the day is long. Boom, cutting a gigantic V right through the breast of the waves, and suddenly fatigue hit Jonah in the back of his soul, and he lay his great body back in the water, and he lulling in the waves, and Morpheus was goofing on his eyebrows, and sleep came to Jonah, and he slept for 12 hours and 15 seconds. When he woke, what did he see? I'll tell you what he saw. He saw the whale. And what did he say when he saw the whale? He said, get me from this sin immediately. And the whale said, oh, man, every time I stick my nose out of this pool, I sure see some crazy jazz. This is the bending end. So what you mean, the bending end, Mr. Whale? I said, look at that. He talked to you. What do you know about that? I said, of course I talk, Mr. Whale. I said, don't you dig the marine news? Ain't you hip to what's going down around these here waters? I said, wait a minute here. Take it easy now. He said, ain't no taking it easy, Mr. Whale. He said, it's a big pool. You groove your way, I'll groove mine. I'll swoop the scene and dig you later. Well, say, look here. Here's a little old bit of nothing to me and Mouse. No place he gonna hip me the king of the dip or the lick is. He says, I got the good mind to gobble you up. Jonah said, don't you do that, Mr. Whale, because if you do, I'm going to knock you in your most delicate gear. The whale say, that do it. Clum! And he swallowed Jonah. And here was Jonah, slipping and sliding from one side of this great sea mammal to the other, fear and tear in his heart. He couldn't go out the front end, and he's afraid to go out the back end. And all of a sudden, he fell down on these great, thick, blubbery rugs, and a piteous sound came from Jonah. He said, Lord! Lord! Can you dig me in this here fish? And the the Lord said,
I got you covered, Jonah.
Just a man, the Lord sure got a crazy sense of humor. Say, maybe that's the reason I dig the cat so much. Tell me he's got me covered. The cat got me surrounded. And the great Lord said, Jonah, reach in your watertight pocket and take from there some of the cigarettes you got in the great tree, and courage will return to you. And Jonah did. And we see Jonah inside this giant whale, smoking his strange cigarette, watching the pistons, pong, driving and boom, pushing and the great valves, expanding and expanding. And finally the whale say,
Jonah.
And Jonah say,
what is it, fish?
Whale say, what is it, fish? Say, you got a new captain on this here mass mess now, Mr. Fish. He say, I'm outside no more. I'm inside now.
Whale say, Jonah, what in the world is you smoking in there? I thought I was off to Fibbity Islands. Here I is 2 minutes for the Panama Canal. This jazz got to go.
Jonah say, what do you care I'm smoking in here? I'm the captain of this mass mess I done explained to you before.
Say, Jonah, what are you doing stomping all over the engine room like that for, boy? Why don't you sit down someplace and cool yourself? You getting the ride for nothing.
Joseph, I'll stomp all over this here engine room as long as I want. Say, what is this wheel? I said, look out there, boy. You messing with Madonna wheel there, Johnny. Look out, man. Don't mess with that equipment like that here. Joseph, what is this here lever here? He said, look out, man. Jonah, boy, look out what you're doing. You got my full speed ahead lever. Jonah, look out for the rock on the right. The rock on the right, Jonah. Cool. He said, it ain't cool at all. We in this shallow water. Jonah said, that's all I want to know. And fa-bam, he hit the whale's big sneezing meter and whoosh, blew him out on the cool, groovy sands of serenity. Which only goes to prove, as Confucius said many, many years ago, Langai Sao Tongu Lok Tao Ai Sai Sao, which translated briefly means, if you get to it and you cannot do it, there you jolly well are, aren't you? My lords and my ladies of the royal court, an incident from the life of the precious Mahatma Gandhi. Now you see, like I explained to you, they call this here cat the Hip Gan. That's what they call him. That's everybody call him the Hip Gan, the sweet, precious Hip Gan. Because India was swung India. He wailed India. He gassed India. He grooved India. Now I'm going to tell you why. You see, India was bugged with the lion. Every time Indy get a little extra scarf in the cupboard, wham, here come the lion, chomp, swooped the scene, and there stand the poor Indian scarfless, bugged him to death. That was before the Hip Gan blew in on the scene, see. And the day that the Hip Gan blew in on the scene seemed to be the lion's big swinging day, because he was into that scarf's patch up to his shoulders, scoffing up an insane breeze. So the Hip Gan back away about 30 or 40 feet, and he hold out his arms cool-wise, and he do a running bar jumping, mop, whapped on that lion's tail so hard that the lion swooped the scene, and that gassed Indian. Gassed him. So naturally, in return, they want to gas him back. So Mr. Ribbity, the Indian pop thriller, he sent out all the notes to all the Indian musicians, to the Ribbity players, and the dong-dong players, and the dang-dang players, and the mang-along players, and the reed heads, and the lute heads, and the blute heads, and all the blowing heads there was, to come on in, that they're going to gas a big jam session, but again, and whew, here they come, the happy group, grooving into this big place to send and swing the gan. And when they all get in there together, Mr. Rabbity, the Indian pop thriller, he stand up, he said, boys, you know what to blow when the saint comes marching in. They say, groovy. So here come the gan. With the 26 chicks with the horn-rimmed glasses and 19 nanny goats and 2 spinning wheels. And he looks so sharp and so fine and so groovy because he got a nice, clean, white dow on. And the love light is beaming through his glasses and gassing the whole scene. And they swing him in and they sit him down on some nice, groovy sofa pillows, silken that is, and the cool the nanny goats and the chicks all cuddle and they start to blow. And my lords and my ladies, I'm going to hip you. You may heard a lot of jams
session blown off. You may have heard of New Orleans flips. You may have heard of Chicago style. You may have heard of all kinds of jazz jumping the wildest and the most insane. You may have heard of many musical insane flips, but you studs and stallions and cats and kitties never dug any session like these cats blew. They wailed so hard that the snakes in the jungle picked up on the lick and come stomping in for the session. Had to send out the snake guards. There ain't no dancing tonight, boys. We just hipping the gang. That's all. Playing little jam session. Brought the poor snakes clean down. And they had to send around the wig tappers. You see what I mean? Say, Jack, I can't put that wig back on you, man. It's going in the same hole. You blowing too hard. You got to cool yourself for a little while. And they're blowing up such a crazy, groovy scene that it was W for your head. And when the scene was all over, Mr. Rabideed, the Indian part triller, he swing over to the hip gang and he do a nice swinging bow and he say, oh, great, sweet, swinging, groovy, double clutching, high, non-stop, pine, top, go of all double swings in beauty.
The hip gang say, well, if I ain't, I'm a big, fat, groovy pole on a rough hill on the way there.
He said, tell me something. You see, he's a very hip cat, the hip gang was. He said, tell me something. Did you dig the scene? And the hip gang say, baby, when I hear them rabbity players and the dong-dong players and the bloom-bloom players and the flip-heads and the lute-heads and the reed-heads and all these balls wailing up such an insane love breeze, it brought to me the beauty and the mysticism and the wonder and the gorgeous theme and the gorgeous swing and all the great wild non-stop etheria that is
Mother India.
So Mr. Rabideed say, well, your sweet hipness, I like to twist it my wig getting this session together for you, but I sure did enjoy it because I see the beauty in your face. But would you do me a little favor? Say, of course, baby. He said, tell me, which one of the instruments did you dig the most? So the hip gang looked at him, and a love look came on his face, and he said, well, baby, the music of all India, which I dig the most, the instrument, you ain't got here.
Mr. Rabideed said, man, what are you saying? It's I got the doom-doom players, the bang-bang players, and the liberty players, then the reed heads and the lute heads, and every head that I could dig up a swing out of the jungle here to blow with his cat. He'd tell me the one he'd dig the most. I ain't got it.
Say, that's right.
He said, well, sweet double hipness, great beloved non-stop beauty, straighten me, because I'm ready.
And the hip guy said, that's right, that's right. Well, here's the lick.
He said, baby, the instrument of all India, which I dig the music the most of, the swings my soul up in a great cathedral head of beauty, is the music of the he said, the spinning wheel, baby. Knock a little patch on the cat's pants. Swing a coat on grandma. Get a little juice on the table. Swang up with a little circus money. He said, the spinning wheel, baby. I hope I didn't bring you down.
Now, there's different kind of cats. You see, now, like this here cat sitting over there, he probably George Washington cat, you see. He dig George making it across the stream with the ice and stomping soldier and all that. And that cat over there, he probably a Benny Franklin cat. He's with Benny Franklin. But myself, I'm a Lincoln cat. That's me. I dug sweet old swinging nonstop, heavy-headed Sweet Abe. You used to call him Lanky Link. That's what they call a cat back in them days, Lanky Link. Four big hits and seven licks ago, ah, before Daddy swung forth upon this sweet, groovy land, a swinging, stomping, jumping, blowing, wailing new nation. Hip to the cool groove of liberty and solid scent with the ace lick that all the studs, chicks, cats, and kitties, red, white, or blue, is created level in front. in state talk the same, dig what I mean? Now we are hung with a king-size main day civil drag, sounding of whether that nation or any up there nation dig so hip and so solid scent can stay with it all the way. We's here to dig this chop-beating session on the site of the voice jazz blown in the entire issue. Getty's mother boy. We have stomped out here to turn on a small soil stash of the before-mentioned hassle site as a final sweet sod pad for those who laid it down and left it there, so that this jumping happy beat might blow forevermore. And we all dig that this is the straightest lick around pad, but digging it harder from afar, we cannot take no wailing bows. We cannot mellow. We cannot put down the stamp of the Naz on this sweet sod, 'cause the strong non-stop studs, both digging it and dug under it, who hassled here, have mellowed it with such a wild, mad beat that we can hear it, but we can't touch it. Now the wildcats will short dig. You hear what I say? Short dig. Not long stash in their wigs what we is beating our chops around here. But it can never successfully shade what they vaunted here. It is for us the swinging to pick up the dues of these fine studs who cut out here and fly it through to Ennsville. It is hipper for us to be signified to the glorious gig that we can't miss with all these bulging eyes, that from all these A-stamped studs we double our love kick to that righteous ride for which these cats had sounded the last nth bong of the bell of their bell, that we here want it struck up straight for all to dig, that these departed studs shall not have split in vain, that this nation under the great swinging Naz shall room up a whopper of endless Mardi Gras, and that the big law of you states, by you studs and for you kiddies, shall not be scratched from the big race. And that's why I'm a Lincoln cat.
Okay, then.
You want that fan on yet?
No. Okay. Ah, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I wish you could be here on this beautiful day to see the sun shining down this magnificent avenue. All the fair ladies about and all the handsome gentlemen are there, for this is the day that everyone is saluting that celebrated international figure, Governor Slugwell. Ladies and gentlemen, I can see him now down in front of the courthouse. Looks like he's getting into this. Yes, he is getting into a magnificent automobile there. Oh, it's shining so bright into the sunshine. And the people are all gazing around trying to say hello to him. And there's an immense crowd gathering. He's got two blondes on each arm, a king-sized boutonniere in his buttonhole, and a pound of 20s in the toolbox. Hooray for Slugwell!
Thank you, my friend.
Lady, will you stand back? Are you trying to get yourself killed? This is a parade, my dear woman. You got the mother of five children. Peanuts, popcorn, hot dogs, get them.
Blackwell!
Thank you, my friends.
And ladies and gentlemen, coming right down in the middle of the boulevard with its golden sunshine shining down on their magnificent uniforms is the pride of the nation, the 707 Elks Drum Corps Negro. Wham, bam, wham, bam. Rub-a-dee-bub-a-dee-boo. Bam, bam, haroo, bam, bam, haroo, bam, bam. Lady, will you stand back? That's not the last time I'm going to tell you now. Hot dogs, get them all red hot. Hooray for Slugwell!
Thank you, my friends.
And ladies and gentlemen, here we are at the stadium. Good heavens, I know I sound excited, but I can't help it. There's so much excitement in the air. Oh, this is such a tremendous night. You can feel the excitement. You can feel the enthusiasm jumping. There must be 500,000 people here at the stadium as the Governor Carr swings through into the auditorium and gates, and right in the middle of the field, you can hear these people yell, "Hooray for Slugwell!" And now, ladies and gentlemen, time is short. I'm up here in the observation booth, and we just have time now to turn this over to Senator Gridley down on the platform. Well, he'll introduce this magnificent political deity.
My friends, I would like to say that never in my political history have I ever enjoyed the privilege of presenting such a great beloved man. A human being, not only beloved in this fair country, but beloved world over. His name, the name that's imprinted on every heart in America, Governor Slingwell Slugwell. Hooray! Hooray for the governor! Pam, 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 pam. My friends, I would like to say that I have never before been greeted by such warmth and beauty. I'll be there in a moment, Mary. Now, I would like to say that things are going so well and so beautiful with me. My Rolls Royces are all running fine. Three more oil wells came in. I just bought the waterworks last week. I've had the gasworks for quite some time. And things are going at such a magnificent rate that I believe that it is possible for each and every member of this great state, the Employees Association, shall receive a substantial raise in salary amounting to pam 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 and 75 cents. And I would like to say that I wish you all a happy, happy time, and you'll be hearing me from me next very, very soon. Thank you, and good night.
Hooray for Slugman! Hooray for the hello, Charlie.
Yes, that's right.
That's him. Woo! Hooray for Slugman!
My lords and my ladies of the Royal Court, Edgar, the swinging Edgar Allan Poe's magnificent torch, the Raven, has translated into the somatic of the hip. Now you see, Poe didn't want that bird, he didn't need the bird, he didn't dig the bird, he didn't send for the bird, he didn't even know what Avery the bird came from. If they'd have knocked the bird on him postpaid, he wouldn't have dug it, because he was hung in front for a chick by the name of Lena, who had already swooped the satellite, but that didn't bug Eddie. He's still knocking that torch and coal on there, say, can they see me in Flip City? But just like I say, so many times. When you don't want the bird, when you don't need the bird, when you haven't got the first possible use for the bird, that's when you get it. And that's what happened to poor Eddie. He say, it was a real drug midnight. Dreary. I was goofing, beat, and weary over many a freakish volume of forgotten score when suddenly there came a tapping as if some cat were gently riffing, knocking rhythm at my pad's door. "'Tis the landlady," I muttered. On her broom she flies the rounding, sounding for her rent. Witch! Only this and nothing more. If I ever get out of this spin, I... so solid I remember. It was in that rot December, and its swinging, jumping ember blew its phantom upon the floor. Groovily I wooed them all. Still hung I sought to bawl for my book kicks, to knock the sorrow for my gone Lenore, for that sweet square, but swinging maiden, whom the fly chicks tag Lenore, nameless here, forevermore. And the silky, weirdy turning of each papa curtain moved me, hung me with freakish flipples never done before, so that now, to cool the beating of my ticker, I stood repeating 'tis some strange midnight stud that's sounding a money beat on my pad's door. A deuce to cool the mortal, or some juice to drown his sorrow. Some lightweight biff this, and nothing more. Jack, I said, or Jilly, if I've crossed you, don't jump saw, but the solid truth is, this cat was napping, and so cool did you come tapping, and so light hip you came rapping rhythm at my pad's door, that I was scarce sure I dug you. Here I opened wide the slammer, Jack. I dug the breeze, and nothing more. Oh, what are they trying to do to me? I'll show them. What do they think? I fight my way out of this. Right here. Oh, what was that? Look out, look out, look out. Take it easy, take it easy, take it easy, take it easy. Stoned into the darkness peering, long I stood there. I was hung there, flipped and fitting. King spinning dreams no mortal cat had ever rode before. But the gasser was unbroken, digging so hard my wig was gone. But Nathan shaken, Nathan shorn, just one radar blip was gone. The whispered word, Lenore. This I sounded and it sounded back, Lenore. This one sad lick and nothing more. Oh, they leave me alone. Why don't they leave me alone? They're dragging me. So I'd be shrugging me in. I backed into my pad, still turning. All this jazz within me burning. Then again, I dug the tapping, a stronger beat than was before. I'm solid hip, said I, don't dig what that is jumping to my window lattice. Let me get hip what the rat is, and this deep flip I will explore. Let my pounders stay cool tomorrow, and this flip I will explore. Jack, I drew a blank, and nothing more. Who do they think they are to do this to me? Gone full out, I flung the shutter, when with many a flip and flutter, in there stomped a king-sized bug-bird Jack from way back days of yore. Not a minute tipped or hung he, not a minute brought or down he, but with stomps of king and queen, he swung above my sweet pad's door, lit upon the busted palace. sat goofing there. And nothing more. I'm solid hip, said I, that you're no craven. Gas a grim and beat up raven, goofing from the night's Plutonian shore. Swing hip me to what thy tag is on the night's Plutonian shore. Flip the bugbird, nevermore. Solid wake me, this bird, to dig me, though it copped out not upon the score. For we cannot help agreeing that no single human being ever was so sent by sea in a wig like this, above his pad's door, with such a tag as Nevermore. Now you see, this blasted bugbird kept bugging Edgar and gave him such a dreadful time of it that Edgar now wants to divorce the bird. He wants to expel the bird. He doesn't care whether the bird Lou Newley nor Eleanor or any of these cats. He wants to blow the bird. So I think the bird put one too many Nevermores on him. I don't know how much they weigh, but it was just enough to flip that little isinglass at the end of the fuse and blow the whole gig. Poe is now flipping. He looks at the bird and he says, by this lick, you have flipped my meter. You nauseous gasser. You endless repeater. Screw before I blow my red house stack. Blow back to your Plutonian shore. Leave no feather on my heather. Take your black jazz blow together. Leave this pad my torch unbroken. Screw from the roost above my door. Flip the bugbird. Near as ever. Me as all.
Lord Buckley bade farewell to this mortal coil at 7:30 p.m. on the 12th of November, 1960, at Columbus Hospital in New York City. The official cause was listed on the death certificate as natural causes, but many members of his royal court prefer to think that he was simply so heavy he just had to fall off the planet somehow.
People! People are the true flowers of life, and it has been a most precious pleasure to have temporarily strolled in your garden.
And that concludes this week's broadcast of Echoes of a Century. This program was an independent production by Dalsu Radio Creations, copyright 2006. Produced in the studios of WLSU La Crosse, an affiliate of Wisconsin Public Radio, on the La Crosse campus of the University of Wisconsin. I'm King David McKenzie. Thanks for listening. I hope that you'll join us again at the same time next week. Until then, remember, fear and God do not inhabit the same space.